We're going to read from Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, starting at the beginning, verses 1 to 5, and that can be found on page 1008 of the Church Bibles, starting at the beginning of chapter 6, A Prophet Without Honour. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. "Where did this man get these things?" they asked. "What is this wisdom that has been given him? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son, and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home." He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few people who were ill and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Amen. And bless this reading from his word.
During this time of words and meaning, we often think of a word, of course, and its meaning. It might be a theological term. It might be a word from the scriptures themselves. As we think of caricature and how we might think of Jesus, ask many people, and whilst they might describe Jesus in lots of ways, many would say that they recognize he was a carpenter. And that immediately brings images to mind, whether we picture Jesus working with wood or whatever. But to say that he was a carpenter is too narrow a definition. The real term and the real meaning extended further. It meant that Jesus was more than a carpenter. It meant that he was a builder. He didn't just work with wood during his earthly time on earth. He worked with stone. He built places. There might have been places that were dilapidated, which were rebuilt. There might have been new homes formed completely from scratch. There might have been repairs done at different times. And then that makes us think of Jesus in a different way, because suddenly we're dealing with someone who's very strong, who's able to use their hands skillfully. And that creates a different image and a different picture of the one that we have come to know. And as we think of Jesus, God's Son, as a builder, not just as a carpenter, we recognize the importance of it all. How he comes to build within our lives. How he so often comes to rebuild our lives. Perhaps in our own state, we fall into dilapidation. We need to be made good once again. Perhaps there's something new that needs to be constructed, and he comes and he begins that process. Perhaps there are times in life where we're not quite as we once were, and we're not quite the person we would like to be. And once again, Jesus, God's Son, comes and repairs, brings his touch, his healing, his life. And so, as we think of Jesus, don't just think of a carpenter or of a carpenter's son. Think instead of a builder, someone who wants to come and build his church, but also build us as well. I left my hometown a long time ago. The place where I grew up, where I lived through childhood and youth, remains. I do go back from time to time, and I know it well. Familiar faces and places still remain, but it doesn't feel the same. I left for particular reasons. And since then, all that I've experienced in life as well as faith has distanced me from what was once my world. But it's not just where I've gone, nor what I've done since, that makes me feel that way. It's who I've become. Family and friends know that I'm a Christian first and foremost, and they know that led me into ministry. For the most part, they've supported and applauded, but it doesn't mean that they fully understand. For being a Christian and being a minister often leads to the scratching of heads. There's recognition, but often misunderstanding. There's puzzlement and sometimes even bewilderment. Added to that, they know me. More than that, they have known me. And of course, even although I've changed and I'm still changing, even although God has had his own effect in my life so far, in some regards, I'm not accepted. Now, I recognize why. For it's safer to remain, to continue in the same place, to be who you are, at least in the eyes of others, all adding to the sense of continuity that people so often seek. Upset that balance and difficulty arises. Things will never be quite the same again, which makes me a caricature figure to some. I'm known, but I'm not. I'm recognized, but not as I regard myself. I'm familiar, but on the other hand, again, not. All of that brings to mind Jesus' experience as he returned to his hometown. In just a few verses, Mark describes a remarkable scene, but what he describes raises questions. Follow the chronology of events, and Jesus had been ministering. In and around Galilee, he had been teaching, preaching, and speaking in parables, all whilst demonstrating God's involvement in the world miraculously. But in the midst of that, he went home. And this wasn't the first time. Read Luke chapter 4 and you'll find Jesus in Nazareth 1 year before, the occasion during which he famously read from Isaiah, identifying himself with the words of the prophet. In going, there was compassion for those known to him. There was a sense of attachment to both people and place that we sometimes feel too. Yet Jesus' background was of faith in action elsewhere, making a return to the familiar all the more difficult to accept. For being a Christian, a follower of Jesus, won't always be straightforward. It won't always be accepted or acceptable, especially at home. In Jesus' case, his credentials were questioned. Where did this man get these things? They asked in verse 2. Jesus had left as something, but had come back as something else. Gone as a carpenter, back as a rabbi, complete with his own disciples. But further questions arose. Is this not the carpenter? They said in verse 3, pointing out Jesus' lack of theological training or preparation, for he had never been a formal disciple of any rabbi. And as if these accusations were not enough, it got personal. Is this not Mary's son? Is what they said in verse 3 again. A remark which must have rekindled all manner of speculation about Jesus' birth and upbringing, for it was contrary to Jewish custom to to describe a man as the son of his mother, even if she was a widow. And so Jesus endured insult as long-standing suspicion and contempt rose to the surface, implicating his wider family as well. And then, of course, they took offence at him and what he said, as verse 3 continues, highlighting the power of assumption and how so easily it can be misinterpreted. But it's then that Jesus seems constrained. And for once in the Gospels, it appears as if the Son of God can do very little. Mark says that he could not do any miracles there. Yet Matthew's portrayal of the same says that Jesus chose not to. And so a further question comes, and that affects our understanding of God's work and presence in the world. For most commentators would relate Jesus' response, or lack of it, to the moral condition of those he encountered. In other words, because of them, he could not do. Yet the scripture says that all have fallen short of the glory of God, meaning that God's action cannot be directly tied to our moral state. For again, the scripture says that we love because he first loved us. But then comes the issue of faith, and to what extent God responds when it's present or not. Many would say that the more there is faith, the greater God's presence and activity. Yet the scripture says that where two or three are gathered together, there Jesus is in the midst. And if Jesus is in the midst, then he will be present in all his risen glory, able to do anything asked of him. But when Jesus went home, it was the acceptance of himself, or lack of it, that troubled him. Those whom he encountered did not recognize and therefore did not receive, making Mark's account very much about accepting Jesus, about welcoming Jesus, about receiving Jesus, about following Jesus. Not just the carpenter from Nazareth, but the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Not just the carpenter from Nazareth, but the Saviour of the world. For what Mark tells us and reminds us is that God, more often than not, works in ways that we might not expect. And that challenges any caricature of him. We can see clearly how the people of Jesus' time and of his home community perceived him. But are there other caricatures today? Ones which say he only works this way or that way? Or ones which say he can only do this or that? Or could it be that our own caricature of God's Son can so easily take hold in all good faith, causing us to believe not only in him, but also all manner of things besides? And could there be a message in Mark's gospel for us, never mind the world, one which says, don't go back or look back to whatever has been, to whatever has been familiar in the context of faith, to whatever might bring comfort, but instead recognize the one who comes and who is now, accepting him as he comes and as he is now? For all that we've read and all that we've heard, relates to something more within Mark's gospel, the first gospel. It goes back to Jesus' baptism in the Jordan. It continued with him being filled with the Holy Spirit. It went on in a demonstration of power in ministry wherever he went. And after his going home, it continued again with the calling and commissioning of the 12 disciples. That's a pattern which has a direction. These are elements which are still relevant. And even although there may be setbacks, and even although opposition might come at times, we must look to Jesus once again and all the more. Not a caricature figure of our making or of others, whatever that might be, but instead the true representation of him, the full representation of him, knowing that as we accept him by faith, he will lead each one of us on in faith, unconstrained by anything or anyone, wherever we might go. Let us pray. Lord, enable faith to rise, vision to increase, service to be inspired, understanding to grow, and our relationship with you to go on. For this is our prayer, spoken in Jesus' name. Amen.